Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to you this morning, we do know that we're prone to wonder and prone to leave the God that we love. I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning through your word, that you would convict us, that we would continue to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, that we would serve you in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we began Matthew chapter 6 as Christ teaches about the physical outward acts of faith. And join me, if you will, back in Matthew chapter 6 as we read starting in verse 1 again. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will Himself reward you openly. Last week we established that both the Old and the New Testament teach that we should take care of the poor. Job used this as his defense before Bildad. In Job 29:16, he said, I was a father to the poor, and I searched out the case that I did not know. James chapter 1, verse 27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. As we are commanded to take care of the helpless, what Christ is teaching is that we should not do it in a prideful manner. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. We mentioned pride last week because pride in one's wealth means that you've forgotten where wealth comes from. Deuteronomy chapter 8:18, which we read last week, says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Paul reiterates this in Athens in Acts chapter 17. Turn with me. Acts chapter 17, starting in verse 22, he says, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. And here Paul describes God. God who made the world and everything in it, since He is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things. In other words, my friends, there is nothing that you or I own that isn't from God. Everything's from God. Your bank account is from God. Your home, your cars, your most treasured possessions are all from the hand of God. When you think about it in that way, and you look back at the creation story, we humans have not brought anything into this world that wasn't already here. It's all from Him. He is the Creator. We are the created. And what Christ is teaching here with the outward act of charity, He's warning us that there are two dangers in a public gift. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Last week we spent most of our time establishing the fact that we are obligated to be charitable and that all wealth is from God. And the two dangers as we acquire wealth and as we are charitable are pride and praise. Pride and praise. And that's where we're going to spend the balance of our time this morning. When we take pride in helping out someone else, we forget about God. Because when you do something out of pride, you're taking the credit, aren't you? Look at what I did. Look at what I was able to do. Pride deceives. It makes us think that we're in control. It denies the sovereignty of God. The second danger is praise of men. Look back at Matthew 6, verse 2. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. See, if you're doing something charitable and you do it in such a public way so that you would get praise from someone else, your motivation's wrong. Now, as Christ teaches us to make a gift private, what He's really teaching about, He's teaching us to check our motivation. Because after all, if you think about this in a literal sense, it's very difficult to make a totally secret gift. Some people use that as an excuse. It's kind of like their "I gave at the office." Have you ever heard somebody say, "People really don't see all that I do"? We're to check our motivation, but there's also the acknowledgement that there cannot be complete anonymity. We see that in Acts 11, starting in verse 27. It says, "In these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each one according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." There's times when there's going to be some knowledge. I mean, if you write a check, there's some knowledge. But what Christ is teaching here is that our motivation has to be correct. So much so that we should try to do things as much as possible with anonymity. So that we guard against pride in the praise of men. Now, let's look in the Bible as we look at having the wrong motivation. And, of course, we're talking about this morning charity, helping the poor. But you can also see the danger of being wrongly motivated in church offerings. And I want to bring this up because I think it's a great point as we look to people having the wrong motivation or the wrong desire. Let's first turn to Genesis chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground of the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Cain had the wrong motivation. Now we don't know why Cain's offering wasn't accepted explicitly, but God had a certain way that He wanted the offering. Some people say, well, it's because it wasn't from an animal. Cain was a farmer. Well, we don't know explicitly, but what we do know is that God didn't find it acceptable. And the reason why He didn't find it acceptable was that Cain's heart wasn't right. Cain's heart wasn't right. It's great to go out and be charitable. But if our motivation isn't right, if we're doing it for the praise of men, if we're doing it to take pride in ourselves, it's not acceptable. And here we see that while Cain's real beef was against God, he took it out on his brother, didn't he? He had the wrong motivation. He had the wrong desire. When you think as Christ teaches in Matthew 6, and He says, as the hypocrites sound a trumpet for the glory of men, it points to a heart condition. See, they really don't have their heart right. They're not doing it for the love of God. They're not making the gift to show God's grace. Because when you make a gift, when you help the helpless, what your ultimate desire should be, is to be an ambassador for Christ, a servant in His kingdom, to show the graciousness of God. That's why it's best to make an anonymous gift. Because you're going to remove yourself from that temptation. Think of it in a lot of nonprofit situations that aren't biblically based. You start making public gifts, and I hate to be jaded about this, but think about how many quasi-ministry organizations there are out there. And when you look at the board of directors, is it just coincidental that you've got a lot of prominent, wealthy people on these boards? No, it's not coincidental. It's that, unfortunately, a lot of times the motivation of these organizations is let's give them some prominent position. Why? Because they'll give more. It's the glory of men. If our heart isn't right, if we are giving so we'll get some recognition out of it, we're not serving God, are we? We're serving ourselves. That's why an anonymous gift is best. when a gift is given anonymously, or as anonymously as one can give, who gets the credit? God. God gets the credit. If I make it very public, I get the credit. I get my reward. Let's look at another public gift. Acts 5, starting in verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife, also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? Why have you not lied to men, but to God? Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Why did they get in trouble? They had the wrong motivation. The inference here is that they had made a public declaration. We're going to sell this land and we're going to give all of the proceeds to the church. Glory, amen. But then when the proceeds came in, after they had declared it, they kept back. Now, there's nothing wrong in them saying, when we sell the land, I'm going to give X number of dollars. There again, not publicly, but they lied, didn't they? They lied to God. They lied to the church. There's great danger in pride and in praise. Pride and praise not only in how we give to the Lord, but pride and praise in how we give to the poor. But to make a public announcement in front of a group of people, whether you're giving to God or whether you're helping out somebody, nobody's business. Be as anonymous as you can. We should seek as much anonymity as possible. Don't fall into the danger of pride and praise. Next week, we're going to get into the fact that God is a God of reward. And see, Christ teaches that if you fall into the trap of pride and praise, you do not get your reward from God. You've already received your reward through your own pride and through the praise of men. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, that he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart, then each one's praise will come from God. When you think about people's praise, people can praise you one moment and you can be at the bottom of the list the next. Right? What have you done for me lately? Men's praise is temporary. It's shallow. It's fickle. Think about God's praise. Just even thinking about that, just even saying that, is something that I can't even comprehend. To receive the praise from God. Can you imagine? As you're standing there in front of God, and He says, "Well done." We should all strive for that. The Bible says that that will happen. Puts a different perspective on this life, doesn't it? See, when our focus is right, we don't want to please ourselves. Cain wanted to please himself. That's really was the problem. It was Cain. Ananias and Sapphira, they wanted to please themselves. They found some other use for something that they had already promised. They changed the deal. They wanted to please themselves. But as we think about having the right heart and the right motivation, if our heart is right, if our motivation's right, there's only one person that we want to please, and that is the Lord Himself. When we're after pleasing the Lord, we're recognizing who He is and what He has done for us and the grace that we received and the joy that we receive. And it's something that we cannot earn, merit, or deserve. And we joyfully serve Him. We joyfully have outward acts of faith, physical acts of faith for His glory and not our own. Will you please stand with me? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, let me ask you a question this morning. Who are you serving? Who are you serving? Are you serving yourself or are you serving the Lord? Are you loving the Lord with everything? Are you a follower of Christ? If you're serving self, just right where you are, just give it to the Lord. Turn everything over to Him. Put Christ at the center of your life. Our Father, I just pray that we might have a Christ-centric life. That we would continually die to self. That we would die daily. I pray, Lord, that we would realize that all things come from You. And that we should use all things in our service to You and Your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that if someone needs to make a decision, that would be today. In Jesus' name, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, is God calling you this morning? Is He speaking to you?